Some people have said that I speak too fast, but all of these, I have a yes and amen from the right-hand side of the room. Not as fast as Bob. Not as fast as Alistair Petrie when he's in a conference, or Bill Hammond anytime. They're machine guns. All of these messages are on the website, and so you can listen to them again. You have the handouts, so what you didn't get to fill in. If you have missed one, we still have the handouts from last time. Yes, don't forget the sound booth. They can do mean things to us. As you recall from last week, the scripture that we're using for the weapons of our warfare, this is part two, is 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. In the Amplified, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. Lord, we ask that you would help us to submit to you so that we can effectively use the weapons that you have given us to war against your enemies." Is there a reason why that went black on me when I prayed? Last week we looked at the stars, we looked at the spear of the Lord, we looked at the indignation of God, and we looked at the north wind that drives away rain. If you don't think that north wind that drives away rain is real, welcome to Rochester. All of the north winds in the last 3 weeks have driven away every rainstorm from this area, and we live right by one of the greatest water makers in North America, Lake Ontario. That's what the north wind does. We talked about it. The enemies of God fear that weapon. So tonight I want to continue to stretch our thinking to expand the weapons in our warfare arsenal to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to begin by looking at the mystery of the evening tide. God is aware of the extent that the enemy has gone to attack his people. There is nothing that is done in all of creation, visible or invisible, that Father doesn't know about. In these end times, the enemy is throwing out his best effort to derail the bride of Christ. Therefore, God has brought out of storage some weapons to put an end to the era of shameful defeat by the enemy. How many of you are tired of having your enemy eat your lunch? Just on the verge of the breakthrough, and all of a sudden something happens. Just on the verge of the contract being signed, and something happens. Just on the verge of seeing someone come to the Lord, and something happens. The Bible tells us that the end times will be perilous, so we need to be aware that things are going to get worse. If you haven't heard the prophets in the last 5 years, we just finished 5 years of warfare to get ready for the next 2 years of intense warfare. If you remember that there was a prophecy that came out that said that for the next 6 months, things are going to be chaotic and more turmoil than ever since before the Civil War. Yesterday, we saw that happen in England, and all of the world markets respond to a group of people who say, "We don't want to be a part of this group anymore." Did that surprise God? No. He made the nations. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "But understand this, that in the last days will come set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear." We've been warned. Revelation 12:2 says, "Therefore be glad, exult, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in fierce anger or fury, because he knows that he only has a short time left." The devil has come with great wrath. We see it all over the world. The news doesn't know how to report accurately what's happening, but there's a spiritual battle happening all over the world. "Therefore, those who display ignorance towards spiritual warfare will continue to be casualties on the battlefield of life." I know many people who say they don't have to fight spiritual warfare. That's right. You don't have to fight spiritual warfare. I would advise that you do, because the Bible teaches us to. "Those who understand the news of strange things happening around the world understand that we are living in times of the greatest levels of spiritual warfare that the world has seen. We must begin to learn how to use strange weapons for such a time as this. The mystery of the evening tide is a subtle but powerful weapon that the Lord uses. The weapon has been described as a portion, as the portion for the enemies of God. In Isaiah 17:14, it says, "Behold, at the evening tide, trouble, and before the morning, he is not." See, this is the portion for those that spoil us, and the lot for them that rob us. So Isaiah is telling us that the Lord is using the evening tides that goes against those that spoil us, which mean take our stuff, and those that rob us, which means those that destroy everything to get our stuff. The evening mystery of the evening tide is loaded with God's mysterious power, capable of wiping out the enemy. It is a weapon God has earmarked for finishing off our enemies. There are some enemies we are not supposed to allow to live. For example, witchcraft enemies are not supposed to be allowed to live. Where do we read that? We read that in Exodus 22:18. "You shall not allow a sorceress to live." Does that mean that we go out and kill witches? No, but we have the authority over the spirits that drive them, the spirits that use them, the spirits that they have sacrificed blood to take on more power. We have greater authority over all of their power. Remember, we've been talking about Luke 10:19. Jesus said, "I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." When you determine the enemy must perish, you must use the weapon of the mystery of the evening tide. One characteristic of this weapon is that it constitutes terror or trouble for the enemy. You and I think, oh, it's a nice moonlit night, the evening tide, oh. But God has another plan. The purpose of this weapon is to cut off the enemies of God's people. When you use this weapon, you must not be shocked when you hear news of the sudden death of wicked witches. I've told you stories before about witches challenging the authority of apostles in their land. And the apostles, with the love and compassion of Christ, sent people before them to tell them to leave, and they wouldn't leave. And when the apostle came, just like the Ananias and Sapphira, only this time it was purposed against not a believer. It was purposed against someone who was trying to destroy believers. And with one word, the Lord removed them. One of the mysteries of spiritual warfare is that God has weapons for dealing with every manifestation of the enemy. Remember last week we said as soon as Lucifer thought, I will exalt myself. He was cast down. Jesus said, Luke 10:18, he saw Satan fall like lightning. As soon as he thought it, it was cast down. Cast out of heaven. Rebellion has no place in heaven. Remember, whatever has been forbidden in heaven, you can forbid in the earth. Whatever has been permitted in heaven, you can permit in the earth. That's what binding and loosing are really all about. If Father has forbidden it where he dwells, then he's given you the authority through Jesus Christ to forbid it where you dwell. To be quite honest, the Bible tells us that God is a killer. Now, we don't like to hear that. That's not your Sunday school message. But in 2 Samuel 2:6, we read, "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up." See, God is ready to unleash sudden destruction upon wicked powers. He has a plan for you and I to walk in the fullness of his unending love, and our enemies trying to keep us from that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, we read, "When people are saying all is well and secure and there is peace and safety, then in a moment unforeseen destruction, ruin, and death will come upon them suddenly as labor pains come upon a woman with child, and they shall by no means escape, and there will be no escape." God has decided to use the weapon of the mystery of the evening tide to administer his justice to those who secretly or openly torment people. You know that there are groups in this region that are purposing to torment believers. They are casting spells. That's what this weapon is meant to disrupt and destroy. When you use the weapon of the mysteries of the evening tide, your enemies are in trouble. One night God will visit them, and by the following day they will be buried in shame after the order of the evening tide. So when do we use this weapon? First, to terminate powers sent to terminate your destiny. I never know where to point this thing. We use it to terminate the powers that the enemy has sent to terminate our destiny. The ultimate of Father's love is that each of us fulfill the destiny that he has prepared for us. Number two, to arrest demonic robbers. Number three, for spoiling powers that are spoiling your destiny. Number four, for fighting mysterious battles. We get into some strange battles sometimes, and we haven't even left home. Number five, it is a powerful weapon for dealing with the powers of witchcraft. If you are constantly confronting witchcraft, then when we get to the prayers, you need to use these prayers and have the Lord show you how to apply the mysteries of the evening tide to break that work that's coming against you. Number six, when you want the God of suddenlies to appear and revoke every evil agenda of darkness. We said that we are moving in a time of suddenlies. He is the God of suddenlies. If you're not having the suddenlies of God open the way for you, then you need to deal with the powers of darkness that are hindering that way. Now, let me just say again, I'm assuming that all of us are walking rightly with the Lord and that there's nothing in us that would keep the Lord from blessing us. And number seven, when you want to invoke sudden destructions upon the powers that are sent to swallow your destiny. Jesus said, John 10:10, the enemy has come to steal, he steals your peace, To kill, he kills your joy because it's your strength. And to destroy, he wants to destroy your testimony, which is what you use to overcome the devil, the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So the enemy, Satan, has enemies for your destiny and your testimony. And God has weapons for us to fight back. So let's look at a few of the ways to pray that are in your sheet. Number one, in the name of Jesus, let the mystery of the evening tide send panic into the camp of my enemy. You notice you're not praying against people. You're praying against dark powers. Number four, in the name of Jesus, let the mystery of the evening tide begin to disgrace every witchcraft plantation. That's places where witches gather. They will usually be places that are defiled because there's been sacrifices and the shedding of blood. Number seven, in the name of Jesus, let the mystery of the evening tide arise in its mysterious power to reverse every plantation of darkness. Again, another place where darkness gathers, where people that worship the dark powers gather together to get more demons. Number eight, in the name of Jesus, let the mystery of the evening tide arise and fight all my battles for me. Be still and know that he is God. When we use the weapons in prayer that the Lord gives us, just like he did for Israel, he will send one angel or a host of angels, whatever it takes, when we're walking in obedience and trusting in him. The sixth weapon that we want to look at is the razor of the Lord. It's one of the weapons that he's created for high levels of spiritual warfare. In Isaiah 7:20, it says, in the same day will the people of Judah be utterly stripped of belongings. The Lord will shave with the razor that is hired from the parts beyond the river Euphrates. Even with the king of Assyria, that razor will shave the head and the hair of the legs, and it will also consume the beard, leaving Judah with open shame and scorn. The Bible refers to this weapon that is hired, and God uses it as an instrument of his wrath. When God chooses the razor as the right weapon for a particular battle or a stubborn enemy, it shows that God wants to deal with that enemy and put an end to that battle. When the razor was used in biblical times, it was after the battle was over and the enemy came in to bring shame and disgrace. But Jesus came and shed his blood so that we would have no more shame and no more sorrow. The purpose of this weapon is to ensure far-reaching and devastating effects on the enemies of God. To use the hired razor is to shave the head, the feet, and the beard. It means to bulldoze and demolish the entire network of dark powers that have put you under bondage and subjected your destiny to destruction and confusion. The enemy wants to completely humiliate every one of these dark powers that is coming against you. Did Jesus say it is finished? Did Paul say that Jesus made a public spectacle of them triumphing over them through the cross? These are weapons that Father created before man was on earth, so that when we stand in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ, we can war with the weapons that he's given us. To pluck a man's beard was an attempt to disgrace him. The razor of the Lord has been created to destroy the honor of the enemy. This is a weapon that will serve the purpose of destroying and consuming the host of darkness. The razor of the Lord is a weapon to use when you discover that enemies are constantly attacking you in your dream. How many of you have a dream? Something the Lord has set before you. Do you get attacked in that dream? then perhaps you need to ask the Lord to use his razor against your enemy. I will often use the razor of the Lord when I discover the enemy passing the case of the person that I'm praying for from one strong man to another in the dark kingdom. In other words, I'm praying for someone and that enemy leaves him alone. And now another enemy comes in. And so I will literally take the razor. If you've ever been in a deliverance session with us, sometimes they always get set free. But sometimes the fight against darkness is not pleasant. But we will literally cut off every communication aspect between the principalities and powers and the strong men and the demons. We will use the razor of the Lord and ask him to sever those communications. We will literally unwrap the bag of snakes, the interweaving of demonic structures that have held people captive, sometimes for generations. As we see in 2 Samuel 10, verses 4 through 6, we can use this weapon to unleash shame and disgrace upon the enemies that are trying to push us into the valley of shame and disgrace. That is the plan of the enemy, is to embarrass you and embarrass Jesus. This is a weapon to push back. 2 Samuel 10, 4 through 6 says, "So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, for they were men greatly humiliated. And the king said, 'Stay at Jericho until your beards grow and then return.' Now when the sons of Ammon saw that they had become odious to David, the sons of Ammon sent and hired the Arameans of Beth-Rahab and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, the men of Tob with 12,000 men." The razor of the Lord is the answer when you are looking for ways to stop the enemy before he stops you. A lot of our modern advertising doesn't know it, but they're using this term when they say, cut it off before. The razor of the Lord cuts off the plan of the enemy before it can get in and steal and kill and destroy. The razor of the Lord will prove to be an effective weapon for those who have suffered as a result of wicked arrows. Many of us sometimes come under attack even when we have our full armor on, and we don't know why. Well, there are forces out there that are sending arrows of darkness, wicked arrows, to try and keep you from the path of your destiny. You need to invoke this weapon in prayer when you want your deliverance to be quick, complete, and permanent. The razor of the Lord must be used to wound and bruise the head of the serpent, and when serpentine and marine demons are fighting desperately to subject you to terrible bondage. This weapon will also terminate evil terminators and invoke the decree of death upon the head of stubborn witches and wizards. The razor of the Lord is one weapon that will pour the wrath of God Almighty upon the enemy. Now, we live in an area where we have to contend with land, air, and marine demons. The northern boundary of the United States and our territory is Lake Ontario. And some of you participated in a strategic prayer event probably about too many years ago for me to count, maybe 10. Where we cleansed all of the water streams in three counties that flowed into Lake Ontario, coming against those things that were sent to come against the body of Christ. So when do we use this weapon? You use it when you want wicked to deal with wicked powers in a devastating way. Number two, you use the razor of the Lord when you want to disgrace boasting powers. How many of you are tired of your enemy boasting about how they have you in bondage? Number three, you use the razor of the Lord when you want to arrest the tide of arrows, of the arrows of shame and disgrace. Those are two of the key weapons that the enemy uses to try and keep us from walking in the fullness of who Christ in you is. He is the hope of glory. But the enemy will send arrows of shame and disgrace. Well, what about this? Well, your great-grandfather was Attila the Hun. So what? My Father in heaven sent his Son. You have weapons to cut off the enemy. The razor of the Lord will cut off those that have been sent to bring you shame and disgrace. As a suitable weapon for bruising the head of the serpent, you want to use the razor of the Lord. Number five, you use the razor of the Lord as a powerful deliverance weapon. Many times in our deliverance sessions, we will ask the Lord to use this weapon. And we see people get set free. And number six, you use the razor of the Lord to take you out of the valley of defeat and place you on the mountain of victory. Father has a plan for all of us to walk in the fullness of the victory of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's given us weapons to fight the powers of darkness that are rising up in these end times to try and keep the bride from walking in the fullness of Jesus' victory. So here are some of the ways to pray. Number one, in the name of Jesus, O razor of the Lord, cut through every wall of bondage assigned to frustrate me. Number four, in the name of Jesus, O razor of the Lord, discipline every witchcraft coven assigned to trouble my life. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy's plan. We don't have to be afraid that there's someone out there trying to stop us. The Lord has said that he will go before us, Isaiah 52:12, and that he will be our rear guard. That is offense and defense. And he's given us these weapons for activating his holy warriors on our behalf. When we use these weapons, he's assigned angels to use the weapon. Most of our battles, by the way, are not fought by yelling and screaming. Our battles are won by hearing the verdict of the Ancient of Days in the court of heaven, Daniel chapter 7, and then decreeing it into the earth realm. Job 22:28 says, you will decree a thing and it will come to pass, and light will shine upon your path. When we get into Father's presence and worship daily, we can hear what is taking place in his courtroom. We can ask him to open the books that he's written about us. And when we see that something is stopping us from what he said he wants to do for you, then use the weapons that he's given us. The razor of the Lord is one that will stop those witches' covens that are assigned against you. And yes, there are many in this region. Those of you who are hunters and go out in the woods, you've probably come across some of them, especially if you hunt in the southern tier area. Number seven, in the name of Jesus, O razor of the Lord, move in great speed to disgrace my Goliath. Remember we said that there are going to be new giants that rise up to oppose you and confront you? You know what the good news is? They were defeated by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And all we have to do is confront them. Just like the young shepherd confronted Goliath. David reached into the water. He reached into the brook. He reached into the stream that speaks of his future. And he grabbed from his future 5 stones. I believe the Holy Spirit told David that Goliath had brothers. I think Goliath's brothers didn't think this little boy that looked like a ragamuffin was going to take down their big brother. Even though David prepared for all 5, the Lord used David's relatives in the next generation, I believe they were his nephews, to take down Goliath's brothers. There will be giants that will try to stop you as we move forward. The Lord has given us already in Scripture weapons that we can use to spoil the enemy and take back what he's withheld from us. The 7th weapon that we're going to look at, and the last one for tonight, is the rebuke of the Lord. One of the weapons that we make use of in our warfare comes out of the mouth of God. The voice of the Lord drives the sound of terror to the ears of the enemy. When God speaks, thunder strikes the enemy. When God declares judgment, the enemy shudders. The voice of the Lord will capture enemy arrows and make them go back to the sender. Reminds me of some of the things we see in the modern cinema where there's something shot out and all of a sudden it's caught and thrown back. Well, in the spirit realm, what has been sent against us, the Lord catches and sends back on those. The rebuke of the Lord will invoke destruction upon the enemy. Psalm 104, verse 7 says, "At your rebuke they fled. At the sound of your thunder they hurried away." See, when God rebukes, the enemy flees. I can't remember when it was. Sometime last week, we had some pretty horrendous thunder. No rain, but some pretty horrendous thunder. I wonder what enemies he was rebuking. I wonder what was driven away. Sometimes when it thunders and you've been praying, thank the Lord that he has rebuked your enemy on your behalf. It's that simple sometimes. When you've been asking him for something and all of a sudden it thunders, perhaps he's just sent the answer. But I'm so into myself, I've forgotten that I was in a battle. I've forgotten that greater is he who is in me than any of the enemies that confront me. I've forgotten that all he said to do is thank and praise him. As a matter of fact, all Israel had to do was say, "For the Lord he is good, and his mercy endures forever." And the Lord went out before him, before the army. And the armies, Israel's enemies, had fought themselves. And all Israel had to do, if you read 2 Chronicles 20:20, was go out for 3 days, pick up the spoil. That's a lot of spoil. When the Almighty rebukes, the association of witches and wizards scatters. So, all of you who are concerned about the powers of darkness that are coming to Syracuse in September and Rochester in October, psychics and everything else, you know what? Those are perfect spiritual gifts being used by unsanctified people. If you've heard Lisa's testimony, her gift, when it was unsanctified, did the same thing that it was meant to do. Now that it's sanctified, it's setting people free. It's helping people walk in victory. So when these powers come in, don't run and hide and don't complain that someone has made some money letting them come in. Just use these weapons against the powers of darkness and stop what they want to do. Close the portal of darkness that is communicating with them in the earth. So we're in the first heaven, the air that's around us. The demons have been cast out of the third heaven, the place where Jesus and Father God dwell. And they're cast to the second heaven. But they can trespass anywhere on earth that we let them. Did you catch that? We're the ones Father has said, whatever you forbid must have been forbidden in heaven. Has Father forbidden rebellion and lawlessness in heaven? Yes. So we can do the same thing. And here's some of the weapons that he's given us to do that. When you declare the Lord rebuke you, stubborn pursuers flee. Isn't that what we see in Scripture? The rebuke of the Lord comes with terrible judgment. The rebuke of the Lord will heap coals of fire on the enemy's head. All we have to do is hear what Father's saying and speak it into our atmosphere. The rebuke of the Lord is a weapon loaded with the anointing that will throw the enemy into panic and instantly release you. Instantly. So here's the example. Do you remember the seven sons of Sceva? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Good, because they didn't. They tried to cast out a demon. All seven of the sons casting out one demon, and the demon, it says, the one demon in this man rose up and said, Jesus I know, and I've heard of Paul. See, that's testimony. The kingdom of darkness knows who you are. Because the Lord says, yo, that guy in the sound booth, that's my son, that's my daughter. All of darkness hears when Dad says, that's my son and my daughter. But the demon said, who are you? They had no relationship with Jesus Christ. To use these weapons, you've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about Jesus is Lord of my life. Do you understand the difference? Salvation is when I say, Jesus, I accept your victory. I agree your blood cleansed me and set me free. Being Lord is how we sang tonight. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my life, Lord. When you sell out to the Lord like that, the enemy is in trouble. Because Father knows he can send you to the corner market. I'm thinking of Alan's mom. Can send you to the post office. And you don't know why you don't have to go to the post office. Just go to the post office. And diffuse a physical fight that's really a spiritual battle. When you are so sold out to Jesus, he can send you to places to do whatever it is he speaks to you in the moment. Because you know that whatever it is you need, he's already given you. The rebuke of the Lord is one of the most powerful weapons. When God gave us this weapon so that power is allowed to operate here and there, we'll realize that your case is different. This is one sold out to Jesus. We can't mess with her. This is one who's committed to the destiny of Jesus Christ in his life. When he speaks, we have to obey. The rebuke of the Lord must sound in the camp of the enemy. A single rebuke from God Almighty will force Pharaoh to declare that he is ready to let you go. That was a pretty powerful rebuke, the 10th plague. If you are tired of being a constant victim of satanic attacks, you must activate the rebuke of the Lord. Oh, woe is me. The enemy's eaten my lunch once again. No. You are the one that has to activate the rebuke of the Lord. Enough is enough battles. Have you been to one of those? I've had all I can take. Enough is enough. No more. That's it. Have you ever been pushed that far? Or am I the only one? Enough is enough battles are best fought with the rebuke of the Lord because it is a weapon that the enemy cannot withstand. Unfortunately, this weapon has been lying dormant in the armory of God for hundreds of years. When you invoke divine rebuke upon the enemy, the result will completely drive demonic soldiers away from the battlefield. You know what happens when the soldiers aren't there anymore? The treasure is exposed. It's free for the taking. So when do we use this weapon? Number one, to deal with principalities and powers. Oftentimes when we're in strategic level warfare assignments, we will use this weapon. It's the weapon that you see being used in the New Testament when they said, "The Lord rebuke you." Did they rebuke the enemy? No, they invoked the rebuke of the Lord against the powers of darkness. Number two, to arrest stubborn demons and force them to submit. Yes, some battles are harder to fight than others. We have to fight the battles, but the war is finished. We have to listen and hear what weapon Father wants us to use to fight. Number three, when you are fighting enough is enough battles. Don't be fed up. Be geared up. Be raised up and use the weapons of our warfare. Number four, you use the rebuke of the Lord when you are being attacked by high-ranking demons and principalities. Yes, there are some things the Lord is going to ask you to do that means you've got to walk in places you don't normally want to walk in. Many times he will keep you sheltered. He will keep you stealth. He will keep you hidden. But sometimes you have to be exposed to move forward. When you're being attacked by high-ranking demons and principalities, invoke the rebuke of the Lord against them. Number five, to cancel demonic incantations. Those are spells that are being cast against you. Those are charms and fetishes. Those are things that are being spoken into the earth's atmosphere, the first heaven, that have no legal right for anyone that's covered in the blood of the Lamb. If you know that incantations are being spoken against you, if you know that there's a coven of witches living in your apartment complex, there's one on Ridge Road where they meet openly because they're a 501c3. Welcome to the United States. We have freedom of religion, but we have the authority of heaven in the blood, the name, and the power of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the things that drive them, the unholy spirit. Number six, you use the rebuke of the Lord when you are fighting ancestral battles. These are ancient battles. We don't have it as much in the United States, although now that we're more of a melting pot, we're starting to have ancestral worship more and more, especially in Asian cultures. but that brings ancestral demonic forces to bear. When we go overseas, we are very aware that we have to deal with these issues, and some of our hosts have asked us to specifically address to the body of Christ these issues, because that's admixture. What am I talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about worshiping your ancestors. That's idolatry. They literally have special times where they will worship as a nation their ancestors. And because of Confucianism, which is rampant in our education system in the United States, because of Confucianism, they are shamed into falling back into the old ways. Jesus, the Bible, says, come out from among them and be separate. That's what holiness is, walking away from those things. He said, there will be no admixture. I will not give my glory to another. If you want more of the glory of the Lord in your tabernacle, in your body, if you want more of the Spirit dwelling in you, then you have to deal with those admixture issues when he shows them to you. And that's a live issue for many of the places we go in Southeast Asia. The leaders will say, you speak to them about this. We won't unless they do. You hear what I'm saying? We won't do spiritual warfare anywhere we go unless they are trained to stand in it. And we won't fight anything unless it gets in our face. So when we were over there in February, we went through a museum and came to the place where they were celebrating the headhunters in their culture. I'd like to say it was ancient, but 40 years ago is not ancient. Maybe for the teenagers it is. And I was fine just praying in the Spirit, enjoying doing my spiritual mapping and collecting history. And that night at the meeting, someone said, well, did you bind anything here? And I said, no, because no one gave me permission or authority to. If the leaders ask us to, then they have delegated the authority to us, and we, working with them, will do it. But I said, when I got to one place in your museum and turned the corner and walked in, and here are all these human heads hanging there, real human heads, the spirit of death tried to laugh in my face. Casey and our two hosts were not quite in the room yet. And I just said, you have no authority in this place while I'm here. Leave. Did I bind it? No. I just said it can't be in my presence. Do you know darkness can't be in your presence? I don't think the light going out tonight, I hope that it wasn't an accident. A physical accident. I don't think it was a mistake. I think the Lord was trying to show us that he has something greater than what we've trusted in. When you are fighting ancestral battles, when you're not getting breakthrough in issues that go back up to 10 generations, ask the Lord to release the weapon of his rebuke. So how do we pray in this? In the name of Jesus, Father, rebuke every storm contending for my life. Number four, in the name of Jesus, O God, arise and rebuke every satanic watcher assigned against my destiny. Remember, we've been talking about this is the decade of iron. The decade to watch, the decade to look again. We said that one of the iron words that's very key this year is Erin. It means watcher. It means angel. It also means demonic watcher. We said that this entire decade there would be much more angelic activity, including dark angelic activity. The good news is there's at least 2-1, good to bad. The better news is you can activate the angels of the Lord through your worship and your declarations and your decrees. Number five, in the name of Jesus, let the rebuke of the Lord work to defend my interests. Remember, we started and said a lot of times we got projects that just are on the precipice of breakthrough and then everything falls apart. I won't say where, but we have a friend in southwestern U.S. who we're praying with, and they're getting tremendous breakthroughs in everything because we're saying this is how we're praying, and they're standing with us and agreeing. When two or more of you agree on these things, there's great power. What would happen if four of us agreed? One, 1,000, two, 10,000, four, 100,000, eight, 1,000,000, 16, 10,000,000. Just agreeing and making the decrees and believing that the Lord said it. And number six, in the name of Jesus, let the rebuke of the Lord trouble every principality that is aligned against my destiny. See, you're more important than you have given yourself to realize. There are principalities that want to try and keep you in check in your destiny. There's a principality over every city. There's a principality over every nation. There's a principality over many things. But there's also Father's principality. How do I know that? There's three archangels. Can you name them? Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. There's at least two for every one that rebelled. I believe Father's still creating angels. That's why I say at least two. He hasn't stopped creating. How do I know that? I'm just a chemist. But I've created stuff that they said is impossible to exist. Not to him. When we stand together, the enemy is in trouble. Let's stand to our feet. A question? Yes. Correct.
So if there's something, a principality of power coming against our life, should we have someone join with us?
Yes. So the question is, in a regional teaching we did on spiritual warfare, the statement was made, you do not take on principalities and powers by yourself. That is correct. Most of these weapons are for when two or more of us are gathered in his name. Most of these weapons are for when we're fighting strategic level warfare or when we're ministering deliverance. And if you've ever been in a session with any of the leaders of this church, deliverance is never ministered one-on-one. When we're getting down to core issues, there's always at least two ministers there. So yes, when we're using these weapons, it's at times when we are gathered together to specifically come against satanic issues. That's not big and scary. Jesus has already won that battle. But we don't fight those battles alone. Jesus sent them out two by two, and that's the strategy that we should follow, is always go out in at least two when we're doing these things. Whenever we do regional warfare and when we send out or we're doing New York State warfare, there's never less than two people at any one site. We usually try to have at least four. Why? If one puts to flight 1,000 and two 10,000 and four agreeing 100,000, there is more of the army of the Lord there to help us. It's a good question. You can use these things on yourself. You can pray on things for yourself, but when you're trying to war against something that's regional or territorial, You should have somebody with you. And yes, you can always ask the Lord to rebuke Satan on your behalf. You don't rebuke Satan. Isn't that what we're taught in the New Testament? The Lord rebuke you. That's what the high angels of the Lord said. They're much more powerful than any of us. Lord, I thank you that you give us weapons so that we can walk in fulfillment of the destinies that you have for us. Lord, that you have given us weapons so that we can be effective and faithful stewards of what you've entrusted unto us, even all the earth. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to territories and to times. And we ask that you would keep us in your territory, in your time, so that when you speak, we can be your ambassadors in the earth. Lord, fill our arsenal with the weapons of heaven and fill our hearts with more of you, so that we always effectively war out of a place of your love for the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. There's snacks next door. Stay in fellowship. Have a very blessed week.